Our next reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and our reading will be led by Jason Adams. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 5.
Reading from Revelation 5 can be found on page 1218 in the Pew Bible. It's entitled The Scroll and the Lamb. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. So far the reading.
Let's now turn to Luke chapter 1, to verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, that is in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which would lead to the birth of John the Baptist, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Dear congregation, boys and girls, adults, we have a great God. A great God who does as he says he will, who carries out his plans and promises no matter what people do to oppose God or to reject God and his plan. And we see in Psalm 2 and in Revelation 15 that God is in control and able to deal with all mankind. And it thrilled my heart, and I hope it thrilled yours, when in Revelation 5 we read, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. That's our Jesus. That's our Savior. That's our King. All creation will acknowledge him. Every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a glorious thing that is to remember. That God carries out his purposes, his plans, his kingdom will come. And the amazing thing is that God has used and still uses ordinary people to make that happen. That's what our text for this morning tells us, doesn't it? God chose a young woman from a little town called Nazareth to do the greatest thing he ever done or did since the creation. Who was this Mary? What do we know about her? Nothing much. Except that she was a descendant of Abraham, a member of the people of Israel, the chosen people of God, and a descendant, a distant relative of King David, to whom God had given a promise that he would give David a son, a descendant who would become king and whose kingdom would last forever and ever and ever. Which means a kingdom which would overcome and overpower all other kingdoms till only one kingdom was left. Mary, a young woman, possibly still a teenager. For I'm told that in those days, girls were betrothed at an age from 12 to 14 and thereafter. So she may well have been in her mid-teens, 15, 16. And we don't read anything very special about her. She wasn't known as someone special who had done great things as yet. She was just a girl chosen by God for his purposes. And God sent an angel to her. An angel by the name of Gabriel. And in Luke 1 we read that this angel Gabriel was a very close attendant of God himself. He said so when Zacharias, who was going to be the father of John the Baptist, found it hard to believe what Gabriel had told him. You remember? You and Elizabeth are going to have a son. What? How's that possible? Please give me a sign so that I know what you're saying is true. Well, the angel Gabriel then answered Zacharias, I'm Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. So this heavenly messenger was sent to Mary by God to give Mary a message. But note that before he gave her God's personal message, the angel greeted her. And if you pay special attention, you see that the angel showed young Mary great respect. He spoke, as it were, with reverence to her, even though she was shaking, as it were, in her boots because of this holy angel being in her presence. And he said, greetings, grace to you. You are highly favored. You are richly graced. The Lord God is with you. Fancy that. You, Mary, are someone very special. God has got his eye on you, and God is going to do something with you. And Mary's thinking, what on earth is he going to do? What's he talking about? And she was distressed, we're told. And then the angel says, don't worry, don't be afraid. But the message he gave her wasn't very much inclined to give her much peace, was it, to take her fear away? Because listen to what the angel told her. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. There you have it again. And you will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How is that possible? Said Mary. How will this be? And she obviously understood the angel to say that this would happen immediately. Not after she was married to Joseph, because otherwise she wouldn't have asked the question and wouldn't have said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Well, once I get married and start living with Joseph, I won't be a virgin anymore and I'll be able to have children. But obviously you're talking about here and now. How can this be? And then the angel answered her. He explained how she, a virgin, could become a mother. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. What was impossible for Mary alone was possible for Mary with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would do what a man would normally do and give life to Mary in her womb. The Holy Spirit would fertilize one of her eggs in her womb. And a child would be born. To a young girl. Not married yet. What might her parents think? And what might Joseph think? And what might the neighbors say of a girl pregnant before marriage? And times were different then. Today it seems society doesn't bat an eyelid about girls, single girls, having babies. Not miraculously, mind you. But in those days, she would have been seen as someone immoral, having done the wrong thing. And she might well have been banished from society unless someone took care of her. And we know what Joseph thought. And we know what Joseph was planning to do, don't we? When he found out that Mary was pregnant. And if she explained to him what the angel had said, it looks like he didn't buy her story, did he? For we read in Matthew that Joseph, when he found out, intended to divorce her quietly. Wasn't going to make a big fuss. Was trying to shield her as much as possible, but he could not in good conscience continue with her in a relationship of husband and wife. Well, the Lord sent an angel to him too, didn't he? Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, is from God himself. Marry her, and when the son gets born, give him the name Jesus, which is also what Mary was told. give him the name Jesus, said the angel to Joseph, for he will save his people from their sins. Imagine that, being the mother, the one and only chosen woman of all the millions and billions of women who've ever lived to become the mother of the Savior of sinners, the Savior of the world. The restoration of God's honor. No, we don't have to say more about Mary than the Bible says. Some Christians do that. They have so elevated Mary that she is somehow on the same level, though not quite, as Jesus, and is regarded as co-redemptrix, and they give her the name Queen of Heaven, and they say if you pray to her, she will listen to you and answer you and take care of you. I don't think that God, or that the Bible says that God has given her those powers or that position. Our Savior is Jesus. There is no other name given among men by which they can be saved. But Mary was the mother of Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the restorer of God's people. And the angel gives Jesus great names. He says, he will be great and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. I don't know how much Mary understood of what the angel said to her here. She may well have had an inkling because she was brought up with the Old Testament. She was brought up with the promises of God, I assume. I assume she was brought up in a believing family. And she would have known about the promise of God to David and the hope of Israel, the Messiah, the Savior of God's people, who would give them the glory that they were intended to have as the people of God. And we mustn't forget that. Jesus the Savior doesn't only save us from our sins. He gives us a position of glory. Did you notice that in Revelation 15? You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You are worthy to open up history and lead it to its final destiny. Because you were slain, because you were crucified, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nations. And listen, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. That's the destiny of the people saved by Jesus. Not just sins forgiven, but an honor and a dignity and an authority which will give them the power to reign over the earth with Jesus. Mary gave birth to her son, of whom the angel said great things. But he wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stable, and his cot was a feeding trough. And he wasn't welcomed with open arms. Most, even of the people of Israel, rejected him. But as John the Apostle writes in his Gospel, but as many as received him, he gave the authority, the right, to become the children of God. For God, nothing is impossible. He can make sinners into saints and enemies into the children of God. And his saving work still goes on. And he still uses people. I love those words of the Apostle John, which we find in John 7, where Jesus is a grown man and he's preaching in the temple. And we read in chapter 7, verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." The life-giving word of God flows out from his people to bring life to those who are dead in sin and trespasses. God still uses people. But as John says, by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. When they receive the Spirit, the disciples testified of the great works of God. What's our response to this word? Worship and adoration. Is it not? We have a great God. We have a good God, who takes ordinary human beings and makes them his servants. And does great things with him. Mary, of course, was unique. There's no other woman who's given birth to the Messiah. There's only one Messiah. But all God's people are called and chosen to be his instruments. His instruments of salvation, by bringing the gospel of Jesus the Messiah, born of the Virgin Mary, of a young girl, without the help of a husband, but empowered, fructified by the Holy Spirit. God has done great things. and we should ponder them. We should think deeply about them. For too often, we're like Christmas celebrators, and the moment the Christmas presents are unwrapped and put away, Christmas is over and done with, and the songs of praises are silent. I pray that we will take this word of God for all it is worth and praise Him for having done what needed to be done, so that we could live in the freedom of the children of God. And once when Jesus comes again and we shall be like Him, then the whole creation will be liberated from the bondage of decay to which it has been submitted because of the sinfulness of man. There'll come a day when God will be all in all again. That's what we long for, isn't it? That God may be all in all, in my heart and in my life, in your heart, in your life, and He will be glorified and we will enjoy Him forever. Amen.